Good morning. What a blessing it is to be here this morning for me and Marjorie. We have been connected with Ross Road and years ago with East Aldergrove all these years, for 33 plus years that you have been supporting us in the ministry in Portugal. And right now, Marjorie and I, we're kind of taking our trip to the various churches and thanking them for all the blessings, for the encouragement that they have been to us over the years. And we really want to thank Ross Road in a very, very special way. You have been an example on how to take care and encourage missionaries over our lifetime. We want to thank you. We cannot forget Margaret Woody and all of this, and what a blessing she has been, and she will always be remembered for encouraging missions and ministry overseas in different ways. Marjorie would like to share a little story right now that I think will encourage all of us this morning.
This morning's sermon is going to be on obedience, and I would like to share a little story with you before Otto comes and speaks. But before I share this, first of all, this story comes from an email that we received the day we arrived back from Portugal. We have spent 33 years in Portugal, and we are now preparing to retire. And this email arrived the day we arrived in California. But before I read an excerpt from this email, I would like to give you a little background story that will apply to the sermon that we're going to be hearing this morning. And that is about 32 years ago, in our beginning time in Portugal, I had come and I didn't know the language yet. Otto and I came to Portugal with three small children. Our oldest daughter, 8 years old, had befriended a young girl, a young Portuguese girl, and they'd become really good friends. Well, it was Easter time, and our colleagues, we had all planned an Easter picnic, and everybody was supposed to invite the people that they knew. And so Otto comes to me and he says, Marjorie, you need to go and invite Elsa's family to this event. And I'm the missionary, and I will tell you, I didn't want to do it. And the reason is, I wasn't speaking the language very well yet, and yet Otto was speaking well, but he says, Marjorie, you know I can't go. I'm a man, and it's just too complicated. You and our daughter Heidi, you guys need to go there and invite them. Folks, this was a very hard decision for me, because if you would have seen in my heart, I really didn't. My pride was in the way. I knew I'd be humiliated because I just couldn't speak the language that well and they wouldn't understand me. But I knew God was asking me to do this. And so I finally said yes. I took my daughter by the hand and we walked those two blocks to that family's home. We knocked on the door and they were so happy to see us. The whole family was there, and they accepted the invitation. And with time, I will just let you know, they all have come to know the Lord and are in the church to this day. But the excerpt I'm going to read now is from one of the daughters, the oldest daughter, that was sitting in the room the day that we came to give that invitation. And I'm going to read this to you now. During these last weeks, when I, Angela, thought and prayed for your preparations for your final return to California, I could remember the first time we met when Marjorie went to the house to deliver an Easter invitation. It was the invitation and Marjorie's courage that completely changed my life. Through your witness, over so many years, as individuals, couples, and family, I was able to understand what it meant to live concretely with Christ in different areas of my life. Your testimony of life gave me the desire to one day also reproduce for me a family life that loves God and perseveres to follow His commandments. With Marjorie, I learned the meaning of hospitality that does not depend on the good or bad circumstances we find ourselves in. but on the attitude of the heart. And with Otto, I learned the importance of investing in someone and seeing that person's potential. In both of you, I saw the love and dedication for the Portuguese people, and I saw also frustrations, challenges, and sacrifices. But in all this, I saw above all your patience, faithfulness, and obedience. Looking back, I see how big your impact has been on my life, and I always think about what would have happened to me and my family if you had never come to Portugal. Folks, that's very humbling to read. And yet God spoke so clearly to me through this, saying, you know what? It's not always about us. Sometimes it's about the obedience God is asking of you for the other person that he wants to change. And so folks, listen carefully to the sermon this morning and see where God is asking you to be obedient.
Thank you so much, Marjorie, for that good story. It just reminds us of the importance of obedience. Obedience is one of those things in life that is just, we need to learn from little and all the way to, well, old age. We need to continue to be obedient. I remember last night we were at a friend's house, and here is the 3-year-old little girl. She's trying to insist on something, but her mother is saying, but no, you need to do it this way. But mommy. And this, the thing of trying to learn obedience is something that starts right at the beginning. And it just continues and continues and continues. As we get older, very often we have other reasons. We can give all kinds of thoughts and ideas why we weren't totally obedient to something. We have a story in the Old Testament that is just very, very interesting, at least to me. And it's King Saul and the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 15, where we have the story of the king being told to do something by the prophet. The prophet gets the word from the Lord, and he comes to the king, Saul, and says, this and this is what you need to do. But Saul says to himself, you know what? I think I have a better idea. I will do all of that, but I won't do it completely. So if we open up our Bibles today, this morning, to 1 Samuel 15, we'll go through this story in different ways. First, we're going to tell the story just a little bit, verses 1 through, I think it's 1 through 7. Here, the prophet Samuel gets the word from the Lord, and the Lord tells Samuel, go and tell the king, Saul, to take care of all the problems that you've had with a group of people that were causing problems to you when you were coming out of the land of Egypt. And so often in our lives, we have situations when we accept the Lord, when we walk into God's kingdom, there are still things that are hanging on in our life, but they're causing us problems, and we don't know exactly how to get rid of them very often. Here, all the groups, all the different people groups have been basically pushed out of the land of milk and honey, the land of Israel. But the Amalekites remained, and they've been at a pain on the side of the Israelites all the time. And the Lord tells Samuel to tell Saul, get rid of them, push them aside. So Samuel goes to Saul, and Saul, sure, he's the king. He gathers up an army. Can you imagine this? Gathering an army of about 200,000 plus. And they're all going out, and they're going to get rid of these this people group. They're going to destroy everything they have. They're going to get rid of it and clean it out so that God's kingdom, God's people can live in peace and harmony. So here we have the situation where they've been pushing them out, and this must have taken days, weeks, maybe months, who knows? It took a while, and when we read verse 8, it says the following, and here Saul took the king, took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag, the king, and the best of the cattle, and the best of the sheep, and the fat calves, and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy, but everything that they despised, they destroyed. Was King Saul obedient to the word of the Lord? After this happened, the word of the Lord, the Bible says in verse 10, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. And this is what the Lord said to Samuel. I regret that I've made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel, this prophet, was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all night long. I think we need to imagine sometimes leadership, whether it's in our churches or in our communities, when they see that somebody has promised to do something, but he's gone wrong, and the Lord reminds them of that. Either the pastor or somebody says, you know, so-and-so or that situation just is not taken care of. And I can just see a pastor, a leader, just crying out all night long, Lord, how can we remedy the situation? Early in the morning, Samuel gets up, and he wants to meet Saul. He has to take a trip. It seems to take a couple of days, probably, until he finally finds King Saul. And as Saul sees the prophet come, it says in verse 13, when Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. Now listen to verse 14. But Samuel said, but then, what is this bleating of the sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of the cattle that I hear? And Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best sheep, the best cattle, to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. How often it is when the Lord asks us to get rid of things in our life, and then all of a sudden we're starting to think, but you know, this area could serve so much in the kingdom of God. This could be so good. This could be such a blessing. This could be so good to have a big party, have a big barbecue with all the cattle and the sheep and so on, and sacrifice them to the Lord, and everybody would be happy, everybody would be great. The only thing is, it's our reasoning. Saul is giving his reasoning for not being obedient. And here's a very interesting word in the Bible. And I think sometimes we should be willing to use that word a little bit more maybe than we do. Verse 16, when after Samuel hearing all the excuses from King Saul, Samuel says, enough. Or another version says, stop it. I think there has to be a point in our life in where somebody is willing to say, stop it. So often we hear all the excuses, all the reasonings for whatever's going right, or whatever's going wrong, and we need to be willing to say, stop it. I think even in our situation, our current situation, where there's so much upheaval, whether it's in churches, whether it's in the community, whether it's in politics, whatever, are you and I, as followers of Jesus, willing to finally just say to each other, or to even the politicians, even the people and the public figures, stop it. Stop giving me excuses. Let's do the right thing. As a matter of fact, it is interesting, verse 16, after it says enough or stop it, Samuel says to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And now Saul wants to know. Saul wants to know what the God Almighty told the prophet what was going to happen. And it's not good. I would like you to read the story on 17 and so on. Basically, what he says is, I am sorry that I made you king. I am so sorry, as the Lord Almighty, that I put you in the place where you are. You allowed these wicked things to continue in your life, and you thought that was a good idea. You took the plunder, you took the riches from a devious group of people. You shouldn't have done that. And it's interesting that verse 20, Saul still continues, just like some of us, maybe myself, maybe not you, but some others would say, but I did obey the Lord, says Saul. I went on the mission. I destroyed everybody, but we did keep the good things. Yes, but I did destroy. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? And here comes one of the texts that I think we've all heard to a certain extent in most of our life already. To obey is better than sacrifice. The Lord wants our obedience. You and I, we can do, we can give, we can do all kinds of things in our lives. We can sacrifice. We can sacrifice our lives. But if we're not obedient, we're not doing what the Lord has asked us to do. My question to us this morning is a very simple question. Do we have Amalekites in our lives? Do we need to be willing to say no to some things in our lives? It is interesting that going back, way back in Genesis, Genesis 22:18, listen to this word just so that you understand that we understand the importance of obedience. Genesis 22:18 says, and through you and through your descendants, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? Because of what you did? No. All because you have obeyed me, says the Lord. You and I, we're being blessed today by Lord Almighty because back during Abraham's time, Isaac's, Jacob, and so on and forward, they were obedient to the Lord. How often do we say to ourselves, how can I obey? How can I better follow these things? My question to you and to me is, where are the Amalekites in our life? Where are the things that are tearing us away from the focus on Lord Almighty, on Jesus Christ? Could it be a secret habit? Maybe that nobody knows about, but it's tearing you down. It's gnawing on you. Could it be our arrogance? Could it be our pride? Could it be our jealousy? Let me get a little bit more personal. Could it be our wasteful spending of money? Could it be our laziness? There's so many things in our lives that when we accepted Jesus, that just continue, we just continue to allow them to continue in our lives, and we are not willing to totally eliminate them. You have Amalekites in your life. Do you have friends that tell you, oh, but that's okay. These are good things, just keep them. I would like us all to have the courage to say, no, we want to follow Jesus. We want to follow the Lord completely, and we want to be totally, totally obedient. Whether we get embarrassed through that situation or not, we're going to be obedient. Kind of like Marjorie's story about 32 years ago, going across the street, going those two blocks, and embarrassingly speaking Portuguese, probably in a very poor way, and inviting that family to a church situation, a church picnic, actually it was. And it changed their lives completely. I want to encourage you to have the courage to let go of things and to say that you're going to be totally, totally obedient to the Lord. Imagine if Marjorie would not have been obedient, and we could ask the same question that Angela asks in her letter. If you would have never come, what would have happened to us? And so I would like to encourage us this morning to be obedient to the Lord, to be willing to walk across the street, and to encourage people. And the last concern that I do have, can we as a congregation, can we as followers of Jesus be obedient to the Lord and send out more missionaries to different places around the world? Portugal continues to need missionaries. Who will follow Marjorie and Otto in Portugal?